and try to find out what's going on in their lives that might be stressful. And, of course, talk with their doctor to see about trying a new medication or changing doses. Because the good news is that if medicine or stress is to blame for memory problems, making a change can solve the problem and help your parent be themselves again. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by Jeremy Shear with help from Mara Mather at the University of Southern California. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. To get podcasts, click on the podcast button. Once again, our web address, amos.indiana.edu, and for podcasts, click on the podcast button. For a moment of science, I'm Don Glass.
We're $5,000 closer than yesterday to having the money we'll need to provide you the news and information you count on us for in the coming year, which starts Wednesday, but we still need to raise the $159,000 remaining. Time's of the essence. We only have through Tuesday, so log on to willpledge.org or mail a check to 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, 61801.
WILL programs are made possible in part by Bevere Cafe, offering breakfast from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. and lunches from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday, and catering. Bevere Cafe is student-operated on the second floor of Bevere Hall, corner of Gregory and Goodwin, Urbana.
It's 2:42 in sports. Roger Federer has reached the fourth round at Wimbledon by defeating Philipp Kohlschreiber of Germany, 6-3, 6-2, 6-7, 6-1. Also advancing, Serena Williams. She defeated Wimbledon. At Wimbledon, she's now through to the fourth round as well. She defeated Roberta Vinci, 6-3, 6-4. The Crosstown Series moves to Chicago's South Side today. The White Sox send Jose Contreras to the mound later this afternoon against Randy Wells of the Cubs in the first of a three-game series at U.S. Cellular Field. The two teams split a rain-shortened series at Wrigley Field earlier this month. And the St. Louis Cards hope to get the bats going again as they resume interleague play against the Minnesota Twins at Busch Stadium tonight. The Cards scored just 9 runs in losing 3 of 4 games against the New York Mets this week. Tonight's pitching matchup is Adam Wainwright for the Cards and Glenn Perkins for Minnesota. That's sports.
Programs on WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to enjoy the summer studio theater production of I Am My Own Wife, starring Henson Keys, that will be playing during June. More information is at KrannertCenter.com.
Some people are so famous they're known by one name alone: Oprah, Angelina, Barack. Once upon a time in America, the names Tallulah and Rhoda were one-name legends. Tallulah was the real-life name of stage, screen, and radio actress Tallulah Bankhead. Rhoda was the spunky TV character Valerie Harper played on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and its spinoff, Rhoda. Now, Tallulah and Rhoda have become one in the play Looped. NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg has one word for Valerie Harper's portrayal of the larger-than-life Tallulah Bankhead: a hoot.
In the mercifully forgotten 1965 film Die, Die, My Darling, Tallulah Bankhead spoke these words.
"Aunt Patricia, as I was telling you, even though that deluded rector has in literal effect closed the church to me..."
In the play Looped, Valerie Harper as Tallulah has problems with the line.
"So, Patricia, as I was telling you, balls, who is it again?"
"It's that deluded rector."
"Deluded rector, right. And so, Patricia, as I was telling you, that deluded rector has... oh, he's done something very naughty."
"He's closed the church to you?"
"Of course."
Playwright Matthew Lombardo puts Tallulah in a Los Angeles recording studio, taping, looping, just 20 words of dialogue for the last movie she would make. The looping takes all day, or at least the length of the play, because Tallulah Bankhead keeps fortifying her brief retakes with scotch, only because there's no bourbon handy, and cocaine.
"She was an addict."
Actress Valerie Harper.
She was an alcoholic, so you see that mean drunk side, some of it, and also her big generous heart, and fought with her demons all her life, but somehow came out victorious.
Valerie Harper's a big Tallulah fan, as much for her wit as for her grit. Bankhead was hilariously funny. She had a pocket full of punchlines. Harper says the husky, whiskey, siggy-voiced Tallulah once got a phone call from gossip columnist Earl Wilson.
And he said, "Miss Bankhead," and he had a high, squeaky voice. He said, "Have you ever been mistaken on the telephone for a man?" And she said, "No, have you?"
"I'm pure as the driven slush," Tallulah said, and "there is less to this than meets the eye." Humor got her through, and glamour, and talent.
"What's the matter with us? We not only let the Nazi do our rowing for us, but our thinking."
In Alfred Hitchcock's 1944 film Lifeboat, she played a spoiled photojournalist who became noble in a shipwreck.
"Ye gods and little fishes. The ocean's full of the millions of fish swimming around. Well, why don't we catch some? Where's the fish line?"
When she went to Hollywood, they tried to make her a second Marlene Dietrich. Big mistake. They should have made her the first Tallulah Bankhead, this Southern belle who went to England, learned how to speak and act for 10 years in her 20s.
Born in Alabama to a family of Democratic politicians, her father was a member of the U.S. Congress, then Speaker of the House in the late 1930s. Her grandfather and an uncle were senators. Tallulah Bankhead was the toast of London theater in the 1920s, a big hit on Broadway in the 30s and 40s. She did radio and TV in the 50s and 60s, but by the time she died in 1965, Tallulah was more the first celebrity bad girl than distinguished actor.
Her personality was often much bigger than the role she was playing.
And so Tallulah grew bored. And when Bankhead was bored, she began acting up.
"And so, Patricia, as I was telling you, that deluded rectum..."
"Rector, rector."
"That's what I said."
"No, you said rectum."
"Oh? That gives it quite a different meaning."
Valerie Harper listens to the actual tape of Tallulah looping every night after a performance. She also watched all Bankhead's movies, her TV appearances. Harper had a good time preparing to be the naughty, witty, take-no-prisoners, outrageous Miss Bankhead.
"I say, what is like Valerie and what isn't? You know, mannerisms or way of looking at things. I don't drink at all. And I haven't done drugs, and I'm a big square. But I can supplant it. It's brownies and pizza that I OD on.
Or
crusty Italian bread, you know. So if I have an addiction, it's you know, that, and I'm constantly watching my weight. So, you know, you find those places in yourself that are similar to the character."
In Washington, D.C., Valerie Harper has standing ovations pretty much every performance. And she says audiences really get involved, reacting to Tallulah lines like this one.
"There's always going to be pain in life, baby. But suffering, that one is optional." A lady said, "So true." It was like one of Rhoda's aunts in the second row.
Harper continues working on Tallulah. The play opened last year at the Pasadena Playhouse. An arena stage production runs through Sunday in D.C. The Washington Times reviewer wrote, "What is sad and triumphant about Tallulah Bankhead is how the spotlight has been turned off her for decades, but she still behaves as if playing to a packed house." Looped, starring Valerie Harper as Tallulah Bankhead, is expected to go to Broadway, possibly this fall. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
How's Rhoda?
She's great. I love her. I shall live forever in my heart. Opened all kinds of doors for me. I never mind.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Mary Bell Vansil grew up during the Great Depression. As a girl, she had some big dreams. She dreamed of becoming a teacher and having her own family. On top of those dreams, she yearned to be a writer. She married, had a daughter, and was a teacher for 27 years. The fulfillment of becoming a writer has come later in life, but now she's accomplished that, too. She has two published books to her credit, the novel Just Me, Sammy, a coming-of-age story for young readers, and now Sadie Fourpaws and the Magic Rocking Chair. Sadie has a book for younger children, children in preschool and kindergarten. Both are published by Outskirts Press. You can meet Mary Bell Vansel in person this weekend and talk with her about writing at a book signing at Woody's Restaurant in Leroy, Illinois. She'll be there Saturday, tomorrow, from 10 until noon and 5 until 7, and again on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we meet her now here on the phone, here on the radio, here on the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon, Mary Bell Vansel. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. We should mention that the first edition of the new book, Sadie Fourpaws, is actually not so new. When and why did you first put Sadie together?
Well, I had a little grandson at that time, and I decided, oh, I'd like to let him know a little bit about his grandmother, or his great-great-grandmother. But on the other hand, I want to make it a children's book. So I decided upon a rabbit, and this rabbit is really my grandmother. And I wrote it for Cameron on his third birthday. I wanted to let him in on a few things about grandmother. One thing was her high back rocking chair, which she always sat in when she wanted to do some deep thinking, figuring things out, whether she was solving the problems of the world or her own problems, which were many. And she would sit down in that rocking chair and rock and rock and rock and think and think and think. And that's what I did. I put it into a book.
Yeah. And now your grandson is 21.
Yes, he is. He's going to be 21 in 2 months.
Okay. Close enough. So now tell us something about the book for older readers, your first, Just Me, Sammy.
Well, my daughter had done all kinds of lovely and scary things when she was a little girl. And we always said she did enough things that we could write a book. And that's the first thing that I thought about. And then I widened it to include other people, too, and to include things that happened to my husband and traits of my grandson. And it just kind of developed. I wrote it, actually, started it in 1983. Then I retired in 85, and my thought was, I will write. I had that on my mind right at the top. Then my husband needed me to help him in his business, and I ended up doing computer work and all that kind of stuff for a lot of years. And finally, I guess it was 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I began to think, you know, I'm never going to have time. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to have to make the time. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I started in, and I looked up all the information that I'd had those years ago, and sure enough, it was more done than I thought, although I had only finished, really, the first chapter. And I expanded it and worked through the notes, which I'd scribbled down on papers, and went ahead and finished that book. And it was a fun thing, and it was time-consuming, but I loved doing it.
Yeah, and now we can find you at Amazon. How about that?
Yeah, you can find me at Amazon.com, and everybody who reads it, please, please write a review of it and give me the number of stars you think I need to have. I think it's from 1 to 5. And I would appreciate that very much, because I think the bookstores and other places look at that to see what kind of reviews you have, and it helps them in stocking.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Just Me, Sammy. This is a work of fiction, but Sammy has a secret desire to be a writer. How did your dream of writing help you imagine this character, Sammy?
Well, quite a bit. I mean, I really did want to be a writer. I first wanted to be a teacher, and I accomplished that. And then I always had thought about writing. And then I took a writing course, which was very instrumental in giving me some of the tools that I needed. Then my grandson is a very accomplished writer. He has a creative imagination, and he could sit down and write something any time. And I used to think, oh boy, I wish I had done that. I wish I had sat down and taken more time. And finally, as I said, I just thought, you know what, I just need to do it.
Yeah. So that sounds like your advice for folks out there who have something that they'd like to do, that they have a dream that they've deferred.
Absolutely. Gee whiz, if it's 78, I can do this. Anybody can do anything, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm happy you did it.
Oh, well, I am too. I enjoyed doing it, and I have all kinds of ideas in my head. Not time to sit down and write them down yet, but I'm going to.
Okay, well, make that time.
I plan to.
Well, thanks so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Well, I appreciate it very much.
You're very welcome. Mary Bell Vansel is the author of two books now, Just Me, Sammy, and Sadie Fourpaws and the Magic Rocking Chair. Sadie is a book for younger children, children in preschool and kindergarten. Sammy is a coming-of-age story for young readers. It's a novel. Both books are published by Outskirts Press. Mary Bell Vansel is a resident of Leroy, and you can meet her there in Leroy in person this weekend and talk with her about her work, her books, at a book signing at Woody's Restaurant in Leroy. She'll be there from Saturday tomorrow from 10 until noon and 5 until 7 tomorrow evening, and then again on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Earth and Sky.
Today, small farmers in rural Latin America live year to year in hopes that weather and food prices remain good. But what if climate extremes, such as droughts or floods, were to happen year after year? Walter Bedkin works in Latin America with Columbia University's International Research Institute for Climate and Society.
If you can imagine a climate scenario in which those disaster years become more frequent, that means that the farmers will have a very tough time in establishing production systems.
Many scientists predict that global warming will lead to greater variability in climate. Bedkin told Earth Sky that this variability could especially threaten the livelihoods of small farmers like those in Latin America.
Everything we do today to help those societies to be better adapted to the droughts, to the floods, will make those same societies less vulnerable to future climate conditions.
Bedkin believes the first steps to creating stability for Latin